Blog Talk Radio.
The Lockyer Group. Our attorneys will come out to you, or you'll come out to us, and we will assess the damages. We'll talk to you about what has happened in your case and how best we can help you. 954-906-7444. That means you'll always hear and speak to the attorney. So the number again is 954-906-7444. That is 954-906-7444. What about you're in a store somewhere or you visited somebody? 954-906-7444. Car accident. Whether you're the driver or passenger or slip and fall, call us at 954-906-7444. That is 954-906-7444. And the attorneys in our office will help you to navigate through your legal issue. One last time, it is 954-906-7444. 954-906-7, and I'm waiting for your call at the end of this interview. Nikki?
Well, thank you so much, sir. We do appreciate you, again, sharing with our community and sharing with those who are listening to the broadcast. We would love for you to make sure and call the Law Care Group. It is important that you do. And take that number down. Maybe you don't have something that you are experiencing now where you feel like you need a lawyer. Maybe you don't know of anything that's happening in your life right now. But that doesn't mean that something won't come up. So make sure you take down the number to call the Law Care Group. And President Bolton, we thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Thank you again for the opportunity. Lots of people have been calling, and I appreciate it. You may need it at another time. So you want to put that telephone number in your phone so that when you need it, then you have the 206-7444.
All right. Well, we thank you so much for sharing with us. Thank you for calling in. It is our spotlight here on GUTS, Gospel United States, and we're spotlighting the Law Care Group. Thanks again for calling in.
Thank you.
God's going to turn it around. Turn it around. Turn it around. You're looking for a brighter day your way. Troubles don't last always. Just stay in the rain. Although you might feel defeated, yeah, standing at the end.
Well, somebody better, or we'll miss our visit with Mrs. G.
Hello. I'm glad to see you. I was listening for you. Come on in.
How about some stories?
Yes, I've got some specially for you. Hi, it's me again, Sailor Sock. Sock, short for Socrates, the philosopher, the thinker, remember? I was telling you a story, the story of the most famous shipwreck in history, the wreck of the ship taking prisoner Paul to Rome, and I, Sailor Sock, was one of the deckhands. Remember, 14 days of terrible weather, drifting, battered, tossed on the open sea. No sun, no moon, no stars to guide us. Terrified, seasick, drenched and shivering for 14 days. Then, land ahoy! Excellent! Then to be caught in a twirling cross current where two seas met, and for our poor battered ship to be stuck deep in mud and clay on a shoal. The stern of our ship rose up out of the water, the front end being stuck fast in the mud. And did that stern ever take a beating? There it was, the ship stuck nose down and its rear end pointing up to the sky. Well, the waves lashed and lashed and broke that stern up into boards. Those boards were the life of the poor passengers who couldn't swim. They just clutched at them floating boards and the mighty waves tossed them toward the land. You could call it surf riding if you like. And true to prisoner Paul's words, every last one of us, all 276 of us, got to land safe, swimming or surfing on the broken boards of the ship. Some of the shipwrecked people kissed the wet, sodden ground. It was raining. Some knelt down and thanked their gods for their safe arrival. Above the deafening roar of the waves, now behind us, you could hear everybody's teeth chattering. Everybody was shivering as they staggered up the beach in their drenched clothes. The captain felt very responsible to know where we were. We're at Malta, I do believe. He said his teeth were chattering too. In a few minutes, there was no doubt as to where we were because natives of the island came running towards us. Some of us recognized their thick accent straight away. Their accent was rather like the Phoenician accent you hear up at Tyre and Sidon. These natives were kind to us. Immediately, they began to build a great bonfire on the beach to warm us and dry us out. It was raining, so it had to be a good big fire, or it would soon have sputtered out. Seeing them, the natives all running around the beach collecting brushwood to keep the fire going, some of us joined in. We began to run around collecting firewood. We'd got our legs back by now. Our legs seemed to belong to us once more. Yes, we ran around picking up wood to throw on the fire. Prisoner Paul, chained to his soldier, was bobbing about picking up wood and throwing it on the fire along with the rest of us. When suddenly, listen, one of Prisoner Paul's sticks leapt right back at him out of the fire and fixed itself on Prisoner Paul's hand. It was a poisonous snake. And there it hung, fixed to Prisoner Paul's hand by its fangs. Everyone who saw it screamed. Prisoner Paul just calmly brushed the poisonous snake off his hand into the fire. The natives of the island said to each other, "Ooh, this is indeed a wicked murderer. He's escaped death in the sea, but the gods are still after him. Now he will die for sure." They waited for Paul's hand to swell up. They waited for Paul to fall down dead. They waited a long time, but nothing bad happened at all. Then they changed their tune. "Oh, he must be a god himself. This man's a god." We had come up the beach right near the home of the governor of the island. The governor, Publius was his name, invited the ship's captain and officer Julius to be house guests in his home for 3 days. Of course, Roman army officer Julius could not go without his important prisoner. So
prisoner Paul and his friends, Dr. Luke and Aristarchus, went to stay at Publius's villa too. Actually, we were all housed by these kind island people. I must tell you what happened at Publius's house while prisoner Paul was there. Publius's father lay very sick with dysentery and Malta fever. Paul went in to visit him and healed him. Oh, how grateful Publius was. So was his old dad, of course, who was healed. You can imagine that what prisoner Paul did in healing the old man made us all very popular with the island people. Now, it was obvious that we couldn't go to sea again until the winter was over. It was November now, and we'd have to stay where we were till February. Roman army officer Julius hired a place to house himself and prisoner Paul, Dr. Luke, and Aristarchus. News got about that prisoner Paul was a healer. The islanders had already decided that prisoner Paul must be a god of some kind anyway. And you can guess what happened. All the sick people made a beeline for the house where Andy healed them all. Now, I haven't told you yet what I consider the most important thing that happened on the island of our shipwreck. Listen for it. I, Sailor Sock, became a Christian. Yes, prisoner Paul spent a lot of his time having people to the house he was living in. He couldn't keep them away. The sick came and their families heard the word of the Lord. Prisoner Paul explained the scriptures to us, and when he told us, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God," I said, "Yeah, I certainly have." And I thought, no hope for me. But then prisoner Paul said, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I pricked up my ears. I saw a ray of hope. Being Sailor Sock, a thinker, I said to myself, "Now a gift. What does one do with a gift?" Well, you don't have to do nothing. You don't have to do anything but take a gift. I listened to prisoner Paul carefully. He pointed out that we could take God's free gift because Jesus, Lord Jesus, Messiah, had died on the cross and had taken the punishment for our sins himself. Therefore, now, God could give us his free gift of eternal life if we would only take it. Oh, I saw it all in a flash. "That's for me," I said. "That free gift of eternal life, oh, I'll take it." "God," I said, "I am a sinner, and I do deserve to be punished, as you say, but thank you that Jesus died on the cross in my place. Please forgive my sins. I gratefully accept your gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." And I wasn't the only one. Many of the islanders did what I did, and many of the 276 shipwrecked people likewise. Men, women, and children trusted the Lord. Now, what about you, kids? Wouldn't you like to trust the Lord? Take his gift of eternal life yourself? Now, you can't help being born a sinner. That's just how things are. I've thought it out, being Sailor Sock, Socrates the thinker. But you can help stay in the way you were born, a sinner. You can come to the Lord and take this free gift, eternal life, by saying, "Please, Lord, forgive my sins, and I gratefully accept your gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Please help me to live a good Christian life right until the day you take me to heaven." Wouldn't you like to do that, kids? Well, the springtime came on the island of Malta. Flowers blooming, birds singing, the storms were over, the sea was calm, and it was time for us to make the final part of our journey to Rome. A big grain ship, which had been harbored all winter in Malta, was about to set sail for Rome. Roman army officer Julius booked passages on it for all his prisoners, including prisoner Paul. Of course, Dr. Luke and Aristarchus, prisoner Paul's friends, were going too. The goodbyes were something awful. We had all become so attached to those kind islanders, and because of prisoner Paul's popularity as a healer and as a good man telling of this eternal life, people on the island hated to see him and us go. They loaded us with gifts. Well, we sailed away from Malta. On we went north for 60 miles to Syracuse. Syracuse is on the east coast of the island of Sicily. I better tell you a little bit of geography as we go along. Next stop, a port on the toe of Italy. After our stop, we had to sail through the narrowest part of the Straits of Messina, between the island of Sicily and the coast of Italy. Very narrow the straits are. Captain now had to be so careful. I almost held me breath as we passed the great rock of Scylla on the one hand and the whirlpool of Charybdis on the other. That spot had been the death of many a sailor, so they say. But we knew God was taking care of us. Hadn't he told prisoner Paul he was taking care of us? On we went, almost 200 miles up the coast of Italy, to the beautiful Bay of Naples, past the island of Capri, where Tiberius's palace was. Smoke was coming out the top of the great volcano Vesuvius. There lay the wicked city of Pompeii. You know what happened to it, don't you? One day, 19 years after that February day when we sailed by, old Vesuvius blew its top. All the lava and stuff that spewed out of volcano Vesuvius drowned the whole wicked city of Pompeii. Nothing left but great heaps of rubble. Where were we? Oh, yes, sailing into the Bay of Naples in February A.D. 60 on our way to Rome. Now we're at Puteoli, the port of Rome, I call it. I heard Army Officer Julius tell prisoner Paul a moment ago that he can spend a week here if he likes with his Christian friends before proceeding to the great capital of the world, Rome itself. Well, it's time for Sailor Sock to say goodbye. I hope you've been able to follow my story. You can read it for yourself in the Bible in the last two chapters of the Book of Acts. And you can read how prisoner Paul got to Rome on foot from now on. Actually, I'm anxious to get home to me family in Puteoli, me old mum and dad. I want to tell him all about becoming Christian and how I became one. I hope they'll listen. Oh, no, I'm not married yet. I'm glad I'm not, because now I will look for a girl who loves the Lord too, like myself. Don't put off taking the Lord's gift of eternal life, kids. Why don't you take it now? Well, here's Sailor Sock saying goodbye and God bless you.
Thanks for the stories, Mrs. Griffiths.
Boys and girls, wasn't that a wonderful story from Mrs. G? And it's all true. You know, the Bible is filled with fabulous adventures, battles, miracles, even love stories. One book Mrs. G wrote retells the true story of when Joshua, a general, sent two spies across the Jordan River into the city of Jericho on a secret mission with chases, hiding places, and narrow escapes. Would you like to read that story? You can if you write Mrs. G or visit her website and ask for the book Joshua and the Spies' Secret Mission, www.BibleStoriesWithMrsG.org. And the mailing address is Mrs. G, P.O. Box 933, Don Mills Postal Station, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Ask for Joshua and the Spies' Secret Mission. When you write or visit us on the web, you'll also want to find out about the CD, book, or cassette month clubs. Mrs. G will send you a book or audio every month with stories just like the one you heard today. Write to Mrs. G, P.O. Box 933, Don Mills Postal Station, Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
Can't remember all that.
That's okay. We can come back again next week.
And so can you. Until next time.
Goodbye and God bless.
The following program is a paid advertisement, and the sponsor is entirely responsible for its content.
Lord, I come. Lord, I thank.
only by the cross I am saved. Yes, you are tuned in to Guts, Gospel United Saved, a variety talk show with a Christian point of view, hoping that you will have the guts to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm your host, Nikki V, and we thank you so much for tuning into the broadcast and being a part of what God is doing right here and right now. The number to call to join in the conversation or to be a part of what God is doing for prayer, or just you want to say something or you want to share something with us, it's real simple and it's real easy. All you got to do is call 954-554-6755. That's 954-554-6755. Call or text 954-554-6755. We would appreciate hearing from you. Now, before we go any further, we want to talk about O Come Together, All Ye Faithful. O Come Together, All Ye Faithful. Now, there are many different kinds of churches. There are Presbyterian churches, Episcopalian churches, and Lutheran churches. There are the Assemblies of God and the Church of God in Christ. There are Nazarene Brethren and Reformed churches. There are even different kinds of Methodist churches. There's Free Methodist, United Methodist, Wesleyan Methodist, and different kinds of Baptist churches: Free Will Baptist, Southern Baptist, American Baptist, Regular Baptist, Primitive Baptist, and even two seed in the Spirit Predestinarian Baptist. Yeah, a lot, isn't it? There are churches with long names: National Baptist Evangelical Life and Soul Saving Assembly of the United States of America, and short names like Congregational Church, and confusing names like Duck River Kindred Association of Baptists. Yeah. A lot of non-Christians look at the different denominations and say, hey, you Christians are so divided. Look how many different denominations there are and how many churches split over disagreement. Why should the rest of the world listen to you when you can't even get your own act together? To some extent, they're right. There are a lot of unnecessary divisions and disagreements in the church today. But Jesus does not insist that we all worship in the same style. He doesn't command all of us to walk the same, talk the same, or look the same. He doesn't demand that we all call ourselves the same thing. But he does command us to be one. And now his word makes it clear that all true Christians should stop arguing among themselves. His word does instruct us to let there be real harmony so there won't be divisions in the church. He does plead with us to be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. God desires unity in the church. He commands unity in the church. We are commanded to live in unity with other Christians, whether we feel like it or not, whether it comes easily or not. Why? Simple. God commands unity because God values unity. And if he values unity, we should too. So let's stop and think about this right now. God doesn't command us to make all churches the same, but he does command us to live and work in unity with all Christians. Is there anyone at your church with whom you are arguing and not getting along with right now? Can you stop arguing? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. And start living in harmony with one another. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. There's a way to do this. Plan to visit a church that worships the Lord in a different place or style than what you're used to, as a way of affirming your unity with all true Christian believers. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for being in harmony with everyone in our church, in everyone in the body of Christ. Help us to become kingdom-minded. Help us to become more efficient in the will and the way of you. Father, we come to you through your Son Jesus, just as we are. We repent of our sin. It's in your name, give all others for what they have done against us. We renounce Satan, all evil spirits, and their work. We give our entire self to you, Lord Jesus, now and forever. We invite you into our life, Jesus. We accept you as our Lord, God, and Savior. Heal us, change us, strengthen us in body, soul, and spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, cover us with your precious blood and fill us with your Holy Spirit. We ask you to go before us today and prepare the way in Jesus' name. We thank you, Jesus. We will follow you every day of our life. in the precious name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Ghost. They have a variety talk show with a Christian point of view, hoping that you will have the guts to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm your host, Nikki V, and we thank you so much for tuning into the broadcast and being a part of what God is doing right here and right now. We are excited about what God is doing and how he continues to bless and encourage and enlighten and calls us to be strengthened. Oh, we are ecstatic about all that God is doing here and now. We want you to be ecstatic about what God is doing and to be excited. And by the way, you can give us a call and you can join us in worship services. We do have ecstatic and exuberant, jubilistic worship services at the Fort Lauderdale Multicultural Church of God in Christ, 744 Northwest 12th Avenue in the city of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where the senior pastor is Superintendent Roger Agers, Lady Aurelia Grimes. Assistant pastor is Bishop Lewis Smith. The Mother's Ward president is Mother Lois Jones. And we're really grateful to be a part of that ministry. We encourage everybody who can and who will to join us. We've got a great service, a special service going on this Thursday night, and we are encouraging you all to come on out. It's a regular, actually, our regular Bible study service, but we're encouraging you all to come out and engage with us as we do our life study together. And you can visit us on Thursday nights or on Sundays, Sunday at 9 a.m. with prayer, 9:30 Sunday school, and there's only one day that changes, and that's the fourth Sunday. On the fourth Sunday, we begin at 9:30 for prayer because we have morning manna at 8 a.m. So we have morning manna at 8 a.m., 9:30 prayer, 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11:30 morning worship. It's all happening at the Fort Lauderdale Multicultural Church of God in Christ, 744 Northwest 12th Avenue in the city of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, with the senior pastor, Superintendent Roger A. Grimes. Now, we have experienced a loss at the Fort Lauderdale Multicultural Church of God in Christ, and we are having the homegoing services for Mother Hethela Showers. Friday night, the wake with Fort Lauderdale Multicultural Church of God in Christ, and then on Saturday, the services will be at Jesus Christ Supernatural. However, we will not, because Fort Lauderdale normally distributes groceries on Saturday, we will not be distributing groceries on Saturday. So you will not be able to come between 7 and 8 in the morning to get your groceries on this Saturday because we will be dealing with the homegoing services of Mother Hethela Showers. But we do thank God for you all who constantly keep up with us and keep track of what's going on. We'll resume our distribution on the following Saturday. You can always come by and visit us or, you know, check us. We'll be engaged with what we're doing and know more or volunteer or want to give a contribution. All of that. As a matter of fact, if you want to contribute, you can make your PayPal contributions if you have a PayPal account. You just need to put in the number. You just put the number in and send however much money you want to send. Isn't that wonderful? 954-554-6755. That's 954-554-6755. And we thank God for all of you who are with us and who do want to support and to help us. Now, we were talking about and we were getting ready to talk about and get back into Lead Like Jesus. But before that, we started off the broadcast dealing with President Marlon Bolton and the Law Care Group. No one should hurt you and get away with it. So if you happen to have a legal issue, or maybe you don't have one now, but you may need a lawyer at some point in your life, and many of us do, you would want to take down this number and make sure that you are able to talk with them. 954-906-7444. That's 954-906-7444. President Marlon Bolton is with the Law Care Group, and he can help you to be able to get to where you need to get to. We thank God for Amazing Grace being close by to the studio, and we're grateful for all of you who are chiming in and checking in on us by sending your text messages to us. We are grateful for something in our broadcast, and that is, who leads and who follows? Who leads and who follows? We're talking about Lead Like Jesus, and we're talking about leadership and understanding leadership and getting a better understanding about leadership. So the term leader is mentioned only 6 times in the King James Version of the Bible, while the term servant is mentioned more than 900 times. More than 900 times. That fact highlights the third distinction between a self-serving leader and a servant leader. Who lead and others should follow. Servant leaders, on the other hand, seek to respect the wishes of those who have entrusted them with a season of influence and responsibility. Throughout his life in leadership, Jesus affirmed that God is not looking for leaders, but for servants who will let him be the leader and who will focus first on the kingdom of God. When God came to Abraham, God had the plan, and Abraham was instructed to carry it out according to God's promise. When God came to Moses, God provided leadership for the shy, retiring man. When God came to Mary, she surrendered to God's will and undertook the role of servant leader with son. When God came to Paul, God had a plan that this passionate man spent the rest of his life fulfilling through his leadership and witness to the Gentiles. When God was the leader and these faithful people were servants, his plan was effectively accomplished. Now, on the other hand, whenever we become the leader and try to make God the servant, things don't work out. Why? Because our ego gets in the way and we edge God out. If you want your life, as the old Yiddish saying goes, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan. If as a leader you want to follow the mandate Jesus gave us, to serve rather than to be served, you have to realize that every day you will face all kinds of challenges to your good intentions. Our adversary consistently tries to get us to be self-serving, to resist the temptation to be drawn off course. We must understand the dynamics of a self-serving ego that edges God out. This is the biggest heart issue, why we edge him out. Many of us don't even realize that we are edging God out. We thank you so much for tuning into the broadcast. You are tuned in to Guts, Gospel United Saved, a variety talk show with a Christian point of view, hoping that you will have the guts to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm your host, Nikki V, and we are ever so grateful to be able to be before you and to talk to you about so many different things. We hope that you are enjoying the broadcast thus far and that you will continue to tune in and be a part of what God is doing right here and right now. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk to you a little bit more about leading like Jesus and what it means to edge God out. Until next time, this is Nikki V saying, have the guts to tell somebody about Jesus.
Hey, girl. You know, you're pretty or whatever, but wouldn't you like to bring out that beauty that's inside of you? You should call Robin Eason, 954-696-8865. She's a makeup artist that can bring out the natural beauty in you. That's Robin Eason, 954-696-8865. Call Robin Eason so she can bring out that natural beauty in you. You pretty or whatever.
Welcome to the battle. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. Matthew 11 and 12. Breakthrough, Breakout Outreach Ministry invites you to join us as a family of God coming together to pray for our personal family members all over this world. The Lord will commission you to intercede for a specific thing, place, or person for a specified amount of time. Will you make yourself available? It's all happening at Franklin Park in the Art Room, 2501 Northwest 25th Avenue, Franklin Drive, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33311. Join us on Saturday, March 5th and Saturday, March 12th from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Bishop Frederick L. Huff, Overseer, and Evangelist Prophet Linda Wade, Facilitator. For more information, please call 954-218-7012. That's 954-218-7012. Welcome to the Battle Room. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Again, that's Saturday, March 5th, and Saturday, March 12th, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Man, get up. You can do it. Don't be afraid of change. Your destiny awaits you. Climb harder. You got more in you. Touchdown!
Harvest Reapers International School of Ministry
and Life Coaching Systems
are offering the best life skills courses in the USA today.
Become a part of the fastest growing industry in the world.
Let us show you how to be successful in everything you do.
Become a life coach in just 3 short weeks.
Harvest Reapers International School of Ministries and Life Coaching Systems are teaching you how to become successful in everything you do.
This is Apostle and Life Coach Howard Akins Jr. Don't miss this opportunity of a lifetime.
Call today for the next open house in your city. 754-422-4200. 754-422-4200.
This is Maurice Griffin, and you're listening to Guts with Nikki V.
I need you clapping your hands. I need you on the floor. Come on. I need you dancing. thanking you for all you've done today. Every door you opened, every time you made a way. When I think of your goodness, I've just got to give you praise. And give you praise. And give you praise.
So many reasons I have in my life. Thank you. Every way,
every way.
Times you brought me through.
Thank you, Lord. By the way, 3:47 p.m. right here in WEXY Studios, well, 3:48 really, and it's 75 degrees outside. It feels like 72. Oh, it's clear. Well, actually, it's a little cloudy, but it's not going to rain, so we do want to give God glory, honor, and praise for holding up the rain and giving us a nice, beautiful day. Didn't have to be, but he did. He didn't have to do it, but he did, and I'm so, so glad that we're here at the WEXY Studios. Yeah, we've moved, y'all. We've moved. 3223, I think it is. I'm sorry. I really should know the address right. Suite 601 in the city of Oakland Park, Florida, and we are grateful to be able to be with you all, and we are thankful for just another time to be able to say great things about our God. But also to talk to you a little bit about leading like Jesus and understanding the heart of a servant leader. And the heart of a servant leader does not edge God out. So we have all been in the presence of, and we have all had sometimes even imitated someone who is at least temporarily obsessed with his or her own self-importance. Self-important leaders fill the air with I, my, and me. Statements as they enumerate their trials, triumphs, and opinions. They are highly sensitive to any criticism or any effort to wrench the spotlight and the microphone from their hands. If there is any credit to be taken for a successful or for being right in on any subject, they are the first and the last to speak on the subject. What on the surface looks like prideful self-promotion is probably an expression of a more basic sense of at-risk self-esteem and security. Without God-grounded confidence, we set up elaborate defenses to protect our always-at-risk sense of security and self-worth. We hide behind the rights and privileges of our positions, hoard, control, revenue, and information, and keep others at a safe distance. This leaves us vulnerable to making the wrong decisions for the wrong reasons and diminishing the value of our influence and trust. So how do we edge God out as individuals and as leaders? If we want to learn to lead like Jesus, we have to overcome several barriers. The following is going to help us to understand the ways the heart of a self-serving leader edges God out. We edge God out because the object of our worship, the source of our security and self-worth, as my audience, my ultimate authority, and my judge, we edge God out because we let pride have its way. An overly high opinion of ourselves, exaggerated self-esteem of self, haughtiness, arrogance, thinking more than we ought to. It will edge God out. Fear will also edge God out. An insecure view of the future, producing self-promotion. The fear of man is a trap, Proverbs 29 and 25. And in fear, we will protect ourselves, hiding behind position, withholding information, intimidating others, hoarding control of and revenues, discouraging honest feedback. Mm-hmm. And when we are prideful, we promote ourselves. We are boastful, taking all of the credit, showing off, doing all of the talking, demanding all of the attention. These things always separate. They separate man from God, other people, and even from yourself. They always compare with others and are never happy with the comparison. Always distort the truth in a false sense of security or fear. You can edge God out as the only one worthy of your worship, your source of security and self-worth, and your only audience, authority, and judge. Putting something in God's place. First, you edge God out when you are putting something else in God's place as the object of your worship. Whenever anything becomes more important to you than God, bowing to it, adoring it, or surrendering yourself to it, the idol becomes your answer to the question, whose are you? In short, you worship it. It may be an object such as money, a house, a car, or a business. It may be a desire for power, recognition, or appreciation. It may be a habit that becomes an addiction that is more important than God to you, such an exercise, watching sports on television, eating, sleeping, or surfing the internet. It can also be your own sense of significance and sacrifice. In the book of Revelation, Jesus calls the church at Ephesus to task with the complaint that despite its good deeds and perseverance, it had lost its first love. Whatever it is, it's not worth taking the place of your worship of God. Trusting in something other than God. Another way you edge God out is when you trust in something other than the character and unconditional love of God as your source of security and self-worth. When you put your sense of security and self-worth in your intellect, your position, your performance, your possessions, or your business and personal context, you're counting on things that are at risk and temporary. Instead, you must place your trust in that which is sure and eternal. God's care for you and the wisdom he provides about living in harmony with the rest of his creation. Now, valuing opinions other than God. This is a third way that you edge God out. It's when you put others in his place as the major audience, authority, and judge of your life. If your sense of security is based on what others think, then you don't have any security at all. People are fickle, and your ability to please everyone all the time is a myth. You can't do it. It's not possible. It leads to anxious trying and no peace of mind or soul. Not only is God the all-knowing, all-seeing audience for your life, he has the eternal power and unconditional love to reconcile all things according to his pure and perfect wisdom. All the world is a stage, and God is the all-seeing audience. He determines your destiny. How many businesses and church leaders thought they were getting away with devious deals and decisions only to discover that God makes known from the housetops the secrets that were whispered in the closet? Your character is revealed when no one is watching, except that God is always. Thank you so much for tuning in. By the way, you are tuned in to Guts, Gospel United States, a variety talk show with a Christian point of view, hoping that you will have the guts to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm your host, Nikki V, and we're going to pretty much wrap up the broadcast. And when we come back, we're going to talk about ego problems, pride, and fear. Ego problems, pride, and fear. I do want to remind you, though, that we started the top of this hour out with a conversation with President Marlon Bolton about the Law Care Group. No one should hurt you and get away with it. No one should hurt you and get away with it. 954-906-7444 is the number that you should call. That's 954-906-7444. By the way, if you'd like to become a partner with Guts, we would love for you to be a partner with us. The number to call so that you can become a partner with Guts Gospel United Save is 954-554-6755. That's 954-554-6755. It'll get you the broadcast. It'll give you different options. And by the way, it is a way, if you have PayPal, to be able to pay us. Yeah, you can send payment to us or make a donation, a contribution, help us out, send us money. And you can just do that. Simply go on to PayPal and say, I want to send money, and then it's going to ask you for a phone number or email. The phone number would be 954-554-6755, or if you want the email, it's crf954@gmail.com. Those will get you straight to being able to send through your PayPal account contributions, donations, monies towards helping keeping Guts on the air. We do thank God for you all who partner with us. If you want to partner with us, let us know. Let us know in the notes. Let us know in a text, 954-554-6755, and we'll get back to you and talk with you about how you can support and partner. We're grateful for all of our sponsors and all of our partners, and especially grateful for Fort Lauderdale Multicultural Church of God in Christ, 744 Northwest 12th Avenue in the city of Fort Lauderdale, Florida, where the senior pastor is none other than Superintendent Roger A. Grimes, Youth Pastor Lady Aurelia Grimes, Assistant Pastor Elder Bishop Lewis Smith, Mother's Board President Mother Lois Jones, and our Chairman Deacon is Deacon Andre McIntosh. We do thank God for all of you, again, tuning into the broadcast and listening. I want to say a great big bless out to all of you who listen, but definitely want to give a great big thank you to the shepherds for all of their hard work with me and how much they help myself and Amazing Grace throughout this time that we've been having since the beginning of the year and even before that. I'm grateful for all of my friends and all of you who are constantly being a part of what's going on. A big bless out to Sherry Hall and all of you, again, who listen and who tag me up on Facebook, who are my friends on Facebook, all my Facebook friends, and all of you who follow me on Twitter. We do appreciate you. That's telling me that my time, is just about done. I'm just about up and just about out of here. So we thank God for you all, again, tuning into the broadcast. You are tuned in to Guts Gospel United Save, a variety talk show with a Christian point of view, hoping that you will have the guts to tell somebody about Jesus. I'm your host, Nikki V, and I thank you again for tuning in. Until next time, have the guts to tell somebody, anybody, everybody about Jesus. I want to remind you that he is a shelter.